This is Player One.
This is Player Two.
And you're listening to another great show only on the Four Eyed Radio Network.
The Third.
For more great shows, check out www.foureyedradio.com.
Hi, this is Kyle from Arcade Bros. If you're like me, you like a little joy in your life. We're proud to present that we are sponsored by America Joy Print Shop. If you need cut vinyl, store lettering, business printing, forms, car magnets, and anything else printing needs, America Joy is the one for you. When you contact America Joy, just tell them the Fern sent you.
Tux in a row? Will Robin finally get out of those weird spandex? Here's your host, the super of the dupers, Kyle!
Welcome to an all-new Long Boxcast, episode 4B.
It's Batman! Batman! Where's my ham sandwich? My
sandwich!
Kyle and I just got pumped up with some really bad Bear Rabbit. But this is a comic book podcast. We'll have to start about a Disney podcast.
Wonderful feeling.
When you're having a day when everybody is kind of anti-Semitic.
And, oh my goodness. All right, well, we're back because we ended the last show with writing Man of Steel 2, and we focused on a lot of what we talked about last week, so this week we're going to talk mainly about the Batman and see if I actually listen to a podcast, and we're going to dive into a lot about the context of Batman and the mythos. Before we do all that, we're going to actually give our shout-outs to our friendly neighborhood supporters. So you can listen to us, part of the Four Eyed Radio Network, The Fern. For more information, just visit foureyedradio.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Zoom Marketplace, BlackBerry Podcast, Mirror Guide, Mixcloud, Double Twist, Spreaker, and I think there's a few more now that you can subscribe us to, but simply type in Long Boss Cast and enjoy. The podcast is also sponsored by America Joy Print Shop, official sponsor of the Four Eyed Radio Network. Business cards, banners, flyers, posters, vinyl cut, car wraps, and more. Visit AmericaJoy.com for more information and just tell them that the Fern sent you. Also, Raven Designs is sponsoring us as well. You can find her for illustrations and designs that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries,
your personality,
visit RavenCruise.com. You know what?
I went off on a rant.
You know what? And of course, as always, we love to support Critical Care Comics. You can find them at criticalcarecomics.org.
Which is funny.
Yes.
Listening to old podcasts, we listened to one of my favorites with the Ralph Garman and the Kevin Smith, and they actually mentioned Critical Care.
He mentioned about it. Yeah, he was talking about how they do good work for children and stuff. Facebook, we didn't really have a lot of shout-outs this week, but I'll run through them real quick. For Twitter, we had at RangerCommandPH, at Prometheus PTWR, at Batman Stoned followed us. So the Stoned Batman is also following us and gave us a shout out because you had mentioned Kevin Smith, and he actually retweeted that post.
Shout outs!
Batman Stoned.
Shout outs!
I'm actually going to go to him right now, see what he's talking about.
Shout outs!
He's also had one that I was following for a while called the Goddamn Batman.
He favored one of ours.
Yeah, he's pretty good too. But we also have the new guy now is Batman Stoned. And like right now, he's like, oh yeah, so Batman, chocolate pudding.
Shout out!
Sorry. Oh, then he's like, here's one, Batman Stoned, the Mandarin was just on TV. Oh wait, he's Marvel, I'm too high.
The Mandarin was just on TV. Oh wait a minute, that's Marvel, I'm high.
Joker more like Bloker. That's one for all my European followers. Too high right now. So you can check him out at Batman Stoned. So Steve, anything else you've been reading this week?
Well, I picked up Batman Detective Comics, Volume 1 and 2. It answered my questions about what happened with the Joker. It's actually kind of I'm actually very surprised with all the different Batman comics that are out, like, that are, like, I have to say Batman is the hardest working superhero right now in comics, because it's all, like, you have the normal Batman run with the first, like, the Court of Owls, and then the City of Owls, and then he meets up with the Joker again.
Yeah.
And then in Detective Comics, it's like he's fighting the Joker, he puts the Joker away, then he's fighting the Dollmaker right now, Commissioner Gordon gets kidnapped, Commissioner Gordon lost one of his organs in this.
Ooh.
Like, also,
like, literally,
up,
where did it go?
Like, yeah, he has no idea, like, the Dollmaker took it or whatnot, but Batman goes, like, apeshit, like, looking for him and stuff like that. Because, like, he literally, he's all these, like, weird, creepy, like, things that the Dollmaker pretty much just stitches body faces pieces together and stuff like that. And these, like, three people pretty much attack Batman, and they throw, like, this body at him, and it's Commissioner, like, it looks like Commissioner Gordon. And, like, Batman's all like, what you doing to him? Like, getting all bat rage, pretty much. And then he opens his eyes all like, it's not his eyes. You know, he's like, where is he? This isn't him or whatnot. And the Dollmaker's.
But, like, they were just able to, like, remake a version of him that looked similar.
And that looked like him, just with all, like, skin grabs or whatnot. But it's just kind of funny just to see how Batman just, like, just. It's funny because there's, like, this one guy, he's all like, ha, you can't move or whatnot. And Batman just, like, headbutts him. Like, it's like, just seeing Batman
yeah,
being
like,
a badass.
Being more of his ad- well, that's why I loved it in the Court of Owls when you see him, like, stuck in that room for, like, a week, just, like, completely, like, losing his mind, like, with the. Like, all the lights on him and him drinking the water, and, like, he knew, like, the water came from where it came from and, like, all the stuff, and he, like, totally, like, you tell he was, like, losing it, but, like, still seeing how he was, like, keeping it together as well is pretty wicked.
So it's kind of cool, which I actually kind of really like, because I was, like I was saying, I was watching the Justice League, and you just also get to see how badass a Batman is in that, like, with voiced by Kevin Conroy, of course. But even, like, the Justice League I was watching, like, the very first two season, there's an episode with the Joker called, like, I think it's called Wild Cards Part 1 and 2. But another one was with, like, the Sleep Master guy. And basically, like, Superman goes to bed, the Flash goes to bed, and he kind of starts haunting all their dreams. But Batman hasn't slept in, like, 3 days, he says. So he's trying to stay awake, which is great, because, like, he literally, like, the guy's all like, hey, can I help? Who's next? And it's just Batman standing in, like, a coffee place. He's all like, triple espresso.
Yeah,
and, like, everyone's just like, standing like, it's Batman.
Yeah, like, it's Batman.
And he takes off. But what I like about Batman, it's like the guy's all like, oh, don't you want to fall asleep or whatnot? And things like that. He's like, you know, I can control your mind. And then Batman's just like, my mind's a dangerous place. And I kind of wish
he
did go there, because I would like to see the guy thinking, like, oh, I'm going to take out Batman, and, like, gets in his head and just realizes, like,
like, how many,
like, he's fucked. Like, this guy is less like. But I just like Batman and all that kind of stuff, where he's just kind of like, he's just a badass with everything.
Sweet. I ended up just rereading Batman Year One. Which
is good
awesome.
Good one.
Yeah,
Frank Miller.
Yeah, Frank Miller. It's so good. So I just ended up rereading that again because I got that. Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty much all we're doing.
If you really want
to delve in, I really want to start talking about this guy, because it's like, I really want to get the message out there for those who are fans of Batman, who understand the lore of Batman, who understand, like, what it means of Batman,
yeah.
To realize that even though we talked about Bob Kane last week,
yeah, we talked about
him,
Bob
how
Kane.
He created it and things like that. And I know with him and what's the guy's name? The guy helped write the Joker. Let me pull him up real quick.
Basically, what we found out listening to another one of our favorite podcasts on another network, we found out a bunch of new information came out, and this actually kind of sparked our thing for it. The guy's name is Bill Fingers. Bill Finger, actually, there's a book that's out right now that this other guy wrote, and also he also did one about the whole Superman aspect, basically how two guys pretty much created Superman and they weren't getting the royalties.
Yeah, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, like, developed.
Yeah.
I think they were getting like 19¢ a page or something like that when they first started.
But they didn't
help launch, and they didn't get nothing.
Didn't
it wasn't
any,
until just
yeah.
recently that they finally gave the family.
It was all the movies, all the cartoon
products
shows,
alone.
The products alone.
Well,
so
that's something that was interesting, is like the two most recognizable characters by their merchandise in the world are Mickey Mouse and Superman.
Yeah,
and they didn't get anything of that. Like,
yeah.
Somebody else made all that money. So,
but Bill Finger basically was a guy kind of like these two guys. Basically, Bob Kane kind of came out and was all like, drew a picture and was like, here's this character, Batman. Everything you've grown and known to love pretty much about Batman pretty much came from Bill Finger. This guy pretty much created the Batmobile. He pretty much created Batman, you know, like his costume.
The costume
look,
you know him for.
His sidekick, Robin. He pretty much did everything.
Yeah, I think it was like they said, like, Bob Kane was the one who made Robin younger, because it was like the whole problem they were having with writing, where it was like, how do you write for a guy who keeps talking to himself? Which is funny, because they've actually done that a lot in the New 52, where, like, Batman's always having inner dialogues. So they made him have sidekicks so they could have somebody to kind of banter back and forth. And so Bob Kane,
give me Willikers, bats.
Bob Kane got it right by making him younger instead of just making him like the same age. He made him a lot younger. They based Jerry Robinson's another one. He ended up passing away a couple years ago. Jerry Robinson was the one who actually introduced the playing card idea to Bob Kane about the Joker. And they actually based it off of the Man Who Laughs actor Conrad Veidt. And if you can ever find pictures of him in that movie, The Man Who Laughs, it's like a spitting image because he has like this sinister looking grin. It's really well done. He has like the big black lips, like, you know, it's black and white, so it's like really like predominant stylized. So
why didn't they just get him to play the Joker?
Well, because he's 1928.
Oh.
So he's retired now.
Don't we know time travel?
We do. But for me, like, I think that's what it is. Like, with Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, Superman was a villain. He was written in a little comic book, and they brought it to them. They thought, nah, this is not going to fly. So then they made him a hero. And it was funny because they, at the time... it wasn't even Detective Comics. I think it was National Comics or something like that, where they were just...
Or was it Action Comics?
I think it was... Yeah, I think National was Marvel, and they were Action Comics, something like that. And they were looking for something. They were looking for something, some kind of new, like, oof.
Which is really funny with Superman, too. Superman wasn't as built as he is today.
Yeah, he has more of an acrobat.
Yeah, that was actually... He leaped tall buildings. Yeah, he didn't actually fly.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually, you can thank the radios, and that's the whole idea. What I love about Superman is Superman's basically the immigrant story, you know, about coming to another world, making it your own, and, of course, having all these powers helps, you know, like the super aspect. The radio... Yeah, they had the writers of the radio program, which is really where the boost came from before the Fletcher cartoons, was where they really like fleshed him out. They introduced Lex Luthor. They introduced Brainiac. They introduced the green kryptonite that everyone knew about. They changed the Daily Planet to the Daily Bugle, I think was it.
Mm-hmm.
They changed Perry White. He was something else. They made him Perry White. They introduced Jimmy Olsen. They introduced like all these things that they made him fly. Yeah. They made him fly in the series. So they did all these changes. And I think like, it just added to the mythos, and like, here's a guy who basically built the mythos that you know that is this character, the gentleman named Bill Finger. And from what we've listened to, what we recommend first and foremost is listen to the podcast with Kevin Smith, Fat Man on Batman. I believe it's number 55. He has the gentleman who wrote the book about Bill Finger. They talk all about like his descendants, like the whole history of him. They talk about everything you know of Batman. You know of his cape and cowl, Batmobile, Robin, Alfred, like all these things. And then what's even crazier is like he was also a writer, so he also in 1940 Finger collaborated with artist Martin Nodell to create the superhero Green Lantern in American Comics number 16.
Yes, that's true.
Like,
yeah,
he's helped out with all these Catwoman, like all these, and like other characters. He's very well known for these other ones. He basically died penniless, never made any reaps and benefits of it, never even had an obituary, which was weird to find out that even a guy who helped co-create something never got anything, never got any recognition in his lifetime or in Bob Kane's lifetime. He died in 1974. He was actually inducted into the Jack Kirby Hall of Fame in 1994, and he's in the Will Eisner Award Hall of Fame in 1999. But still, a lot of you don't know who he is.
So there actually is there's a thing going out. His 100th birthday is coming up on February 8th, and there's a request for a Google Doodle. So if you want to go ahead and help out that good cause, go to proposal@google.com and go ahead and get it out there. I really like to see this. I know I'm going to do it. I suggest
you could do it basically every day. And basically what it is he approached Google, I think it was like a couple years ago for like, I think it was like his, it was the 50, it was during the Dark Knight Rises.
Yes.
And he came to them, and I guess they said that it takes months to do and blah, blah. And I guess I forget what it was. It was like Anna Kapatkrix or some other person's birthday. And it's like, okay, well, I don't know why they choose certain people, but they do. And I mean, this one's like so symbolic because it's like, he never got any credit. He never got any recognition. Yeah. And this is finally a chance to show people, like, Google is a, like, worldwide, billions of people would know it. And it'd finally be that nice little, like, icing on the cake to be like, you're no longer with us, but
yeah,
here's us finally acknowledging that, like, everything we know and love about the character, you did. And it'd be nice to get, like, we all know Bob Kane was the guy who created it, helped co-create it, got a lot of the credit, wrote a lot of the books, drew a lot of the books. You know, that's where he made the money. Like, he basically was the guy making all the money. But it would have been nice if he had done like the co-creator, like Stan Lee. That's one thing I like about Stan Lee. And a lot of people kind of give him gripes about, you know, how what he's done being the co-creator of a lot of things, because a lot of things he invented, like a lot of things he was the Bill Fingers of Marvel, and he allowed to give the credit to Ditko and Kirby and all these other guys. So I always give credit when people are willing to share, you know, the wealth. And
yeah, I
would have loved to have seen like that later. Bob Kane had said, yeah, by the way, you know, there was this other guy who helped me with all the.
Well, what I'm really created about, because I know a big thing we're going to probably jump into with the Batman series is the Batman animated series. One thing I was just going down and it actually said created by, and not only does it have Bob Kane on there now, I know it's Wikipedia, but they finally put Bill Finger.
Very good. They
so.
Should've. Oh, if you go to, like, the Batman, like, who created Batman?
No, if you just go to type in Batman the Animated Series on Google, click on Wikipedia, and scroll down to get all the info that you want to get about everything. It literally shows, like, let's see, created by characters, and then it said Bob Kane and Bill Finger now. So.
Okay, I see now, and if you go to the, if you just type in Batman on Wikipedia, finally in here it says Batman was created by artist Bob Kane and writer Bill Finger. First appeared in Detective Comics number 27. And that first issue is also what had Catwoman and the Joker. So it was interesting. Like, that's where the foundation came.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, at least he's getting credit in those spots. But, I mean, that's the problem. A lot of people know who Batman is just by what he looks like and what he does and what he has. And those are all things that he invented that he never got credit for. So.
Yeah, so I really suggest that. Definitely, you know, give him a... I mean, what else are you doing at work, people? I know you're not working, so just go ahead, go to Google, vote for this.
Yeah, and I believe the if done. You want to read the thing, it's called Bill the Boy Wonder, and yes. It's by a guy named Mark Tyler Nobleman. He's the one who actually wrote the book, and it's a really good book. Like, hearing him talk about all the information he did, how basically he thought like he didn't have any family members, only had nieces and nephews.
Yeah, then he found like a long
like
lost,
he had
like
a granddaughter. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, he was gay, or this person like the son?
Yeah, his
gay.
Son. He actually had a son, but his son was like, it was homosexual.
And so then it was like, well, how can he? But then of course it's like, well, of course he had kids.
And his son actually died, I think, before he did.
Yeah, he died,
which is kind of like it's just so tragic, like to hear about like where it's like you literally look at it where like Bob Kane had a really probably good life and everything like that, and then this guy kind of just got
yeah. I mean, Bob Kane, like he died shortly after the 1990 Michael Keaton Batman. Like he died shortly thereafter because he was a heavy smoker, heavy drinker, mm-hmm. and he looked a lot like the Penguin. Like Bob Kane, like again, like Greg Walker to do. Bob Kane, like was really good. The thing I liked about Bob Kane was like people said like he'd go out to eat with Stan Lee, and Stan Lee would be like, oh gosh, like these fans came over, and be like, oh hi, Mr. Lee, we're like a big fan. He'd sign him a quick autograph and be mm-hmm. like, here you go, because he was very much like, oh thanks, but you know I'm having dinner. And then Bob Kane was very much like, hey, you know who I am?
Friends.
You know, I'm the guy who helped me do Batman. Like, let me draw you a Batman. You know, he'd be very giving to the fans, which is
yeah.
always a nice thing.
But
definitely check it out. Well, again, it's I think it's proposals at google.com.
Mm-hmm.
Send them an email. Let them know about the Google Doodle. Mention the 8th of February. Mention Bill Finger. 100th birthday. So definitely get it out there. Let's get this message done, and let's hope, like, literally, like, you can help give this guy finally the credit he's due.
Yeah, I mean,
like, out of all this time, like, finally give this guy the credit. Like, you have the choice to do it. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, so, but one big thing I really want to, we'll talk about is, of course, a big impact on the Batman series is not only with the comic books, but the huge reboot when Tim Burton came out and did not only Batman, but Batman Returns. It wasn't until after Batman Returns. Now, Fox Network for Fox Kids, the Warner Brothers Animation Studio, they were working on a lot of other cartoons at the time. Like a big one was Tiny Toons. And one of the guys, two of the guys who were working on Tiny Toons was Bruce Timm and Paul Dini. And basically what ended up happening is the success of the Batman movies is the network was like, well, we looks like we'll be getting Batman. And literally that same day, Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, and I forget who the other gentleman is. He did pretty much all the backgrounds. They pretty much went into this woman's office, and he just goes, I want to write for Batman, Paul Dini.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then Bruce Timm was like, here, and threw down a bunch of sketches he came up with for characters and stuff like that. The woman's like, okay, and the other guy came in, and basically what I liked about it is they really did talk about a lot of the,
I'm on the keyboard. Ah, you got a moth. We got a moth in the studio. Mothman coming at us.
But yeah, basically, so they pretty much all said they wanted to do this Batman thing. But the what I liked about the background artist was he did a lot of the stuff from the old, Superman cartoons. So it was back in like the
The Fletcher 50, cartoons.
The Fletcher's cartoons.
Yeah, Fletcher's. That was actually good because like what the Fletcher did is they did a thing that not a lot of studios were doing at the time is they would draw over live frames. Like they would film like Superman and Lois talking, and that's how they got that fluidity of like the facial and things like that is they would draw over a film. And that actually became very famous with the Bakshi, like the Lord of the Rings. They actually filmed Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And then just drew over everything. Fire and Ice, like all his films, they filmed it first and then they drew over it to get that fluidity. So definitely, yeah, I mean, if the Fletcher cartoons were great because they were actually like the – that's when they changed things too because they were almost up for an Academy Award with effects because their art was just so brilliant that they almost won these Academy Awards. And they was like – they just were made like out of nowhere. And it's incredible to see that like – that, like you said, somebody who worked on something at the pioneer of it is still was still involved, like towards the end, like they were still like in working on it. So
what's really cool about the Batman animated series basically came out and it was really kind of remarkable when it came out because it wasn't just geared towards kids. When it first aired, it literally was in prime time. There was a couple of episodes that just did like a 6 p.m. like Thursday night or something like that. Our parents probably recorded it for us and stuff. And then it wasn't until later that it finally became into the regular 5 days a week show. Of course, if you don't recognize also the voice but the writer Paul Dini, he was actually a guy who made a brand new character that was put into the entire Batman universe from I would say probably 1990.
Basically, the animated is what
sold it from 19. I would say probably 1993 is when the character was created, and now she's recognized like all the time.
She's actually more predominant than I think than some of the other characters.
Some of the other characters we're talking about, of course, Harley Quinn.
Oh, is that who we're talking about?
Yeah. So. Now, what really sold the show. Now, it was really funny too. Is also if people don't understand with Danny Elfman, he made so much money.
That's my version of Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman, of course, did the he did the music for the Batman movie, but also he did music for The Simpsons, the theme music, and he was making bank off of that. And then when he found out that this show was going to be on primetime, he was like, use my theme so he can get a little bit of a
kickback. So and it tied it all in there.
It kind of did,
yeah. Knew the film knew that. And
so a lot of characters we did get to see come into play, such as the Penguin, Two-Face, Riddler, all these great characters were finally animated, and it's really kind of cool looking, you know, cartoon with the black and the darkness and everything like that. But really, I would have to say that sold this cartoon show was not only was it really well written and not just geared towards kids, like they had a lot of adult situation things, was pretty much, I would say, the voice cast. One of the pretty much the guy who's played Batman the longest,
Kevin Conroy. He's kind of like when you read. It's funny because it's like when you read the comics, a lot of people read it as Kevin Conroy.
Oh, yeah.
And when they read the Joker, they read it as Mark Hamill because of just such a brilliant job it was.
And what I also really like is the design of Mr. Freeze in the animated series, actually created by the guy who did Hellboy.
Yeah.
Mike Mignola. So, but what was your takeaway with the your first introduction to the Batman cartoons?
I think what I liked most about the Batman cartoon was I think the first episode was with Catwoman. She was like the cat burglar. That was my first one I remember seeing, where it was like the zoo and like two under attack, and it had a little bit to do with the black the Shadow Gang and all these other things. And I remember like. It was on later. We had to record it on VHS, and we all watched. I think I remember because our dad was into it, too, so he was very much like, let's watch it, and he actually got a kick out of it. He thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Because it was like very stylized. Like it was animated enough, but it was also kind of more traditional. Like it definitely looked more like classic, like the 1940s, 50s. It kind of had that blocky like art style, the very metropolitan pop that looked really good, like to the point where like literally that not only like set the standard that when the Man of Steel came out, the Green Lantern came out, like all these other characters came out, they all based it on that original artwork,
yeah,
even to the point of like Justice League and all these other ones. It wasn't until like the more recent years that they got into the cartoon movies that they really like beefed up the details.
Bruce Timm's artwork literally set the tone for pretty much the DC universe for a good couple of
decades,
because it was literally like they did the Batman and the Batman did so good, then they did the Superman. And what I really liked about it, you could definitely see the two tones to that show. The Superman cartoon show was very bright, very colorful. Yeah. It still had the same kind of artwork, but you could definitely see the brighter colors and
that's what I liked is like
of course too Gotham
was always dark and gringy, and even like they noticed like Batman's suit got darker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tone of the world got darker, and then also like the villains got darker, his suit, it literally changed colors, like, to be a darker, like, the gray and the black.
Yeah, they did a, yeah, when they, because they did an update with the artwork, and Batman's ears got longer, mm-hmm. he no longer had the yellow with his bat symbol, it was just the huge bat, his suit got grayer, and they really, actually, it was kind of cool, because Dick Grayson grew up, became Nightwing.
Yeah, they actually
And then they
up.
Actually brought in
Tim Drake.
Tim Drake,
they didn't even
Robin.
Do the Jason
they didn't
Todd.
Even, well,
yeah, because at the time, like, they, I think he was, they still wanted to keep him dead and everything. They really did a good job with introducing Batgirl and, like, the Gordon. And, like, they even changed him. Gordon got a lot older. Like, he used to be kind of like Batman's build.
Yeah.
And then you got to see how he basically was, like, a skinny old man towards the end. What I really love is, yeah, you pointed out that perfect contrast where, like, there's a documentary on the Superman movie, and they on the animated series I have, and they talk about that. They talk about, like, when Darkseid finally shows up in the series, that's when it gets, like, almost like Batman dark. Like, those pigments change. Like, all the brightness is kind of snuffed out of the world.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the characters in that show, too, he was, like, kind of like the, hey, yo, yo, hey, yo. He was, like, the cop with the big, bushy eyebrows. Like, he was this, yeah. like, roguey cop. Well, Darkseid kills him in the animated series, and I guess, like, at the time, like, I didn't realize it, but at the time when, like, he, like, kind of puts a Superman goes to his grave and says, like, some words to him, and then at the end, I guess it's based on Jack Kirby, who had passed away. Like, oh. Like, that character was literally put into this thing because Jack Kirby invented Darkseid, he invented Thanos, he invented, like, all these, like, character styles that we know of Captain America, like, all these. He has that art style, that very, like, thick, you know, and, like,
yeah.
you know, look at the old classic comics, the Hulk, like, all these major characters he did. So that character was actually based on Jack Kirby and stuff, and, like, that's also one of my favorite episodes of all time. So was when they did the tie-in, when they finally did Superman Batman, we got to see it in animated, and it was that whole combination of, like, seeing the friendship grow, seeing them, like, kind of relate. One of my favorite episodes of the Batman saga of all times is when Superman becomes Batman and has to, like, track down, like, what happened to
Bruce Wayne goes missing, and Tim Drake as Robin goes ahead and finds Superman, and he tells him, he's like, well, we can't let the villains know that Batman's not here.
Right, because then they're going to run rampant.
They're
going to
run rampant, which is really funny episode, because you get to see Superman wearing the Batman costume, and then he literally, like, changes his voice to sound like pretty much Kevin Conroy. But what I like about it, too, is, like, there's all these things that Superman's like, well, why can't we just do this? Why can't I do that? And then Robin's
like, we could just reach down and, like, punch through this wall.
And Robin's like, we can't do that. We have to let them know that it's Batman. And the greatest part is, like, they drop in, and it's, like, Bane and
Mad Hatter.
The Mad Hatter, and Bane, like, punches Superman, and Superman kind of goes flying, and Superman's like, all right, I'm not going to take this anymore. Boom. So Bane comes running at him, and he just decks him, and Bane goes flying. You literally just see the Mad Hatter, like, interesting.
And then I think Tim, doesn't he go, like, he's been working out. Or,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like,
Tim,
it.
Like,
yeah.
Tim's, like, just been, like, trying like, to it was
cover.
So well done. And
then my favorite other one is the same saga where, like, Tim Drake is, again, comes kind of full force again. And I forget what it was. Like, Batman gets gassed by the Scarecrow.
The Scarecrow.
And what it was something where, like, his inhibition was gone. Like, his, like, control of, like, his... even though he always had vengeance in his heart, he also was also still human. He still made sure, like, I'm not going to hurt anyone. I'll scare him. I'll do whatever I have to. I'll punch him in the face. I'll break a rib or vital organ. But I'm not going to kill the guy. I'm going to, you know, throw him off a roof, but I'm not going to kill him.
Yeah.
So, or I'll shoot guns at him, but I'm not going to kill him. Like, that's why I was laughing about the movies where, like, the Batmobile has machine guns and all this other crap. It's like, wait,
blows up an entire chemical plant.
Ah, they just injured him. I made sure that I shot him in the leg. I didn't, like, kill him, though. You might as well, you know, the leg was the only thing I had.
Oh, sir, you forgot to.
The other leg.
The other leg.
God damn it, Alfred.
Damn
so
it,
then,
Alfred.
Like, what I liked about that episode, too, was, like, that's when Batman, like, he grabs a thug and he's like, you're going to let me go, right? He goes, oh, yeah. And he just tosses him off the building. And Tim's the one who has to, like, shoot the grappling hook and try and tie him up. And then eventually, like, ties Batman up. And he, like, just tells him, like, I can't. You kind of see Batman starting to lose it. Like, you know, you get back here. And he's, like, got his, like, voice and everything. It was really cool to see that because it was like, oh, wow. Like, finally, we're getting to see him really, like, kind of like how I think Bob Kane always envisioned him. Was more of, like, the ruthless, like, I'm going to take no prisoners. He used to have a gun, like, originally.
Yeah, when he first came out, he had a gun, and then they gave him his origin story. Yeah. And he was like, oh, I don't use this.
Yeah, I wouldn't use a gun.
But the funny part about this...
Well, wasn't it, too, because in the original, like, he ended up shooting somebody. Like, I think that he was on his case. He was, like, his first case or whatever, like, whatever. And he actually, the gun went off and, like, shot, like, a homeless person in the arm.
Mm.
And he took him to the hospital and got him treated and then took off. Because, obviously, like, hey, who are you? Who shot? You shot this man. Like, right. And that's what kind of also started the whole vengeful, like, we got to crack this guy down. He's a menace. And I think that's when he realized, like, this, I can't do this because I can't be responsible for hurting somebody else. And that's why I like that Gotham Knight that they did when they showed, like, the satellite.
Yeah, he
kind of
had,
down.
Like, the bulletproof.
Yeah, he got that piece off the satellite that was, like, the I guess, the thing to homogenize it. And every time it would pick up the sound of a gunfire, it would reflect it and bounce off of him. So, of course, it was awesome because you're like, finally, yeah, like now he's bulletproof. But then it showed the damage of like up close fire and it like ricocheted and hit like an enemy. And like that whole aspect of like, well, you know, it's just a risk I have to take.
Yeah, he's like, if I'm going to do this, I can't let other people, you know, it's got to be me who gets hurt, not other people. What I liked about this series, though, is it started on September 5th of 1992, and then I believe it ended its run on September 15th of 1995. But during that time span, they got the Superman series, but then they also started, I believe, the new Adventures of Batman, which introduced Tim Drake as Robin. And that actually started September 13th of 1997 and ran till January. So, I mean, this kind of Batman had a really long run, whether or not it was in two different things. I mean, it was the same kind of style.
And I think what I really like, too, is like they started like there's pieces that they blended in very well. Like a series would end and another series would start and you'd kind of be like, wait, weren't we here? And like this. And eventually, like if you watch the series long enough, it either would answer those questions. Like with Superman, I remember where like it ended with Superman being bad because like the mind control with Darkseid. And then I remember then all of a sudden like it was back to normal. And I was like, well, this is kind of weird. Like, oh, how did that happen? What I realized what they did is they showed it out of sync. And what had happened was like they actually were showing like how people didn't trust Superman as much then afterwards. People were more cautious about him. But then it bled into Justice League. Like it was like this whole thing where then like with the alien invasion of Martian Manhunter, like people realized that Superman was not only not countable because they didn't know like can we trust him again? How many is that going berserk? But then when you put all the other heroes, then there was kind of like a way of controlling everything. And then even then, that's why I liked it got even more political because then it's like, well, they're up in the Watchtower looking down on us. They could do whatever they want, and there's no check for them to understand like, you know, we had to just trust in them that they weren't going to hurt anyone. But one of my favorite ones too is I see on the one post you did where it was like 92, 95, like the different styles that when they tied in the Batman Beyond. And this was something that neither, I think, none of the fans really thought of. I mean, we all just assume like, oh yeah, Batman. We never thought of like the future. Like we never were thinking ahead.
Yeah.
And then to finally get this like origin story that was like, this is pretty cool. Like, oh, it's similar, different. You see the older Batman being kind of like the Oracle.
Yeah.
Or the Alfred, so to speak, where he's helping him, training him. Then you got to see like Superman again because you're like, oh yeah, Superman probably still would be alive and he still would be like flying around and be strong and like he might have, like you said, more wrinkles and stuff, but he'd still be super. Yeah. I like that. I like the idea of like the different characters. Like you had Ink, which was kind of like the Catwoman to the villainess, you know, kind of thing. It was still dealing with like a superpower, like the guy who was partners with Wayne. I forgot his name, but Powers or something. Max Powers or something like that. He became like that radiated creature. So again, that was a very adult looking like villain. I was like, Jesus, like the guy's got like a radiated face.
Yeah, that's what I really liked is like the new Adventures of Batman came out and they updated everybody. Like the artwork really changed, came into its own. Like this is when they updated like Two-Face, the Penguin changed.
Oh yeah, big time.
Joker. A lot of people didn't like it. He got like kind of like the black eyes.
Yeah, they gave him the black eyes with the pale face. It was actually cool because he like digressed. Like he went from like being like the very animated with the yellow eyes and the face to kind of digressing to a more simplified style. Even Penguin, all these characters kind of digress to a more stylized look, and then eventually they kind of came back around. Where then again, after the Joker movie came out with Batman Beyond,
actually that's what a few other ones I really wanted to get into. So basically, what was really cool about this when you talk to Paul Dini is basically the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was a huge influence. Also, don't forget to check out our new Mighty Morphin Power Rangers show on the network, not hosted by Kyle and I, hosted by two other
Four Eyed Radio Network,
two other very good characters on the podcast as well. More to come. But what I really liked about it is Paul Dini. They were talking about like Power Rangers. He's like, you need to get a teenage Batman. They're like, we don't want to do a teenage Batman.
This is
what they want. And they had like a whole like it's a really good thing to listen to when he talks about it. This whole like bullshit kind of thing. They were like, I don't want to talk about this. It's dumb. So then this is when Batman Beyond started coming. So when they developed Batman Beyond to make pretty much you know Batman older, maybe a new mentor and stuff like that. This is when they kind of got away from all of his normal villains and made new villains. Like there's still like reminiscences of the thing.
What I like is they were bringing they were bringing back like in the movie they brought back the Joker and it was so brilliant the way they did it.
What we're talking about and the best one you have to check out, you got to get the unrated version because there are two versions floating around and it's basically called Batman Beyond: The Return of the Joker. Mark Hamill again reprises his role as the
Joker,
the Prince of Prince of Gotham.
Yeah.
And but now he's dealing with a younger Batman who's not experienced and stuff like that.
Well, that's what I liked about it was like in that even movie, he's like, you know, you're not Batman. And like, because he was talking back to him, he was fighting dirty. He's like, Batman doesn't fight like that. And that's what I liked most about it, was that even when the Joker is fighting Batman, he's like, I know all your tricks, and like was able to like counter a lot of the moves and like uppercut him and stuff. Like, it was kind of like, yeah, like, oh, you would think over all these years, eventually he would learn
these things.
Well,
that was the cool part about the whole twist when you find out how the Joker did it. But basically what ends up happening is they're like, what happened that night? This was the night that...
spoilers, in case you want to check it out if you haven't checked it out.
The movie's been out for a while, but anybody who's seen the movie, go ahead and listen.
No, you know what's going on.
Anybody who hasn't, I would just say shut the podcast off for a good, you know, 23 minutes.
Yeah, easy. While we do our, like, movie hills.
What I like about it is finally, Terry McGinnis, who takes over the new mantle of Batman, is getting basically trained. Which is actually one of the guys from Boys Meets World,
yeah,
who did his voice. But Kevin Conroy is still playing Batman at that point. But basically, he goes in there and he starts talking to Bruce, like, what happened? Like, you need to – and Bruce is not going to tell him. So he actually finds Barbara Gordon, who actually takes over for Commissioner Gordon in the police rank.
And, married to a black guy, by the way.
Yeah, actually a senator, I believe, in the animated series of the Batman Beyond. But she starts talking to him, and she goes, yeah, I'll never forget that night. And basically what I loved about it, it goes back.
Yeah, so now you're back in animated.
Back in the
Because I remember in the animated saga, like, then all of a sudden, like, she wasn't in it. It ended. Like, the Batman saga ended. Animated series ended, and we never got like a conclusion.
You never got
like,
a real conclusion.
Like, oh, it just was like Batman Beyond.
That's
started.
What I liked about it. It was literally like a... like a closure for everything like that. So basically,
After that, it was like she said she didn't be Batgirl anymore. Tim like didn't do this thing. Like that's why I liked this. Like they ended like what happened to their role in it, because obviously, yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, well, why did you become a commissioner then?
Yeah, like why did all this stuff happen? So what she starts going back about the night, and basically Tim Drake was out on night patrol as Robin, and basically gets kidnapped by the Joker and Harley. And there she's talking about how we spent like weeks
looking for him,
couldn't find him. And finally, a package showed up, and we go back to the place. Now, when they show up, it's Arkham Asylum, but it's been closed down.
Yeah, I guess years. Like for whatever reason, like they just shut it down.
So he shows up, and of course, Mark Hamill, being the Joker, like, beautifully played. This is what I loved about him and Kevin Conroy. So the Joker starts talking about, like, oh, you know, like, he's like, I thought there was more to you. You know, he's talking about how Batman
realizing,
like,
yeah,
you know, stuff. He's like, oh, you'd be so proud of him. And basically showing Batman this video.
Torturing
Tim Drake, basically. And it's just kind of – but what I like about this – the mature version of it is you literally see Tim Drake walk out all in full Joker makeup.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, son, and everything like that. So Batman starts chasing him. He shows him this film. He's all like – and then what I find out is you're just a rich boy with too many toys. I would laugh if it wasn't so pathetic. And then he's all like
– oh, what the hell?
Oh, what the hell with it? And literally he starts laughing. All you see – like right now Kevin Conroy hasn't said anything. Like you just watch this. You just see him smash the window. Just starts pummeling the Joker. Joker takes off. And what I like about this, the Joker literally pulls out a knife and like stabs him in the leg. And what I liked about it is we didn't think about it at the time. Paul Dini and Bruce Timm both were like, and you know why Batman walks with a cane now in Batman Beyond?
Right, because we had
no because
idea.
He got stabbed by the Joker. And you're just like, are you freaking serious? Like they put that together.
Put that in there.
And then it's just this whole kind of cool concept. Where with the unedited version, when Batman finally breaks down and is almost going to kill pretty much the
Joker.
Yeah,
where he's like, I'm going to break in. He's like, oh, you should have done that years ago if you were going to
that. He's like, you're going to do that. So
and then
basically,
like tasers him or something.
Yeah, he tasers Batman. Batman's pretty much down. Then Tim has a gun on Batman ready to shoot him, and then he drops the gun and he literally shoves the Joker.
Yeah, he's like crying, like laughing, but he's like pushes.
Yeah,
pushes
he's pushing
the
Joker, and the Joker hits the electrical boss, like whoops and kind of thing. But
out
literally, if you watch the unedited version, he actually takes the gun, turns around, and shoots the Joker with it.
It hits him right in the chest.
And what I love about it is like the Joker hits it. He's like, "That's not funny." Like that's his last words.
Yeah, and then falls over
and
then
falls
has
over,
the bang,
and
which
then
was
has
actually
bang,
pretty funny.
Which is,
yeah.
Well, it's like clever and stuff, but it's so much better than like the unedited. Like the unedited version definitely.
Yeah, because obviously, like, you realize why, because you're like, okay, well, yeah, obviously, it's for children. You can embellish, like, okay, yeah, it's electrical, you can show the flashing and understand, like, oh, he's, you know, and I think they showed, like, a hand come into frame, meaning, like, oh, he's not moving, kids, you know what happened. You remember Scruffy? Just like that.
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 6-0-6-5-2. But it was so beautifully done, and then what I liked about it is, like, you know, is, like, then Barbara Gordon says, like, that was the last time that Tim
that was it.
The Robin.
Then he got treatment and everything. Blah,
you know,
blah.
Everyone got treatment. Everyone loved him. Batman still went on his own. But it was like that was the night the Joker won. Literally made not only one of Batman's predecessors use finally a weapon, like a gun, which he was always against. And it's such a cool twist because then you find out later that the Joker used this technology to basically transform Tim Drake
into
the Joker. But yeah, that final scene where they're like basically – Joker, you know, finds out who Bruce Wayne is after learned everything, you know, pretty much almost kills Bruce. And then Terry's like, I got to go after this guy. You know, what would Batman do? Like, how he's like, and that was the thing, like they're fighting. And that's my favorite line in it where he's like,
yeah, I like,
he's
to
like,
talk
he's
too.
Like, Tim, you don't know this man. He's like, he's crazy. He talks and stuff like that. And then Tim's just like, yeah, but I like to talk too. And Tim, you know, he's just throwing everything at him. He's just like, oh, come on.
And Tim starts laughing. And he's like, I thought you wanted to make Batman laugh. And he's just like, you're not Batman.
Well, that's what I love about it. Cause he's like, you could never let Batman laugh. He's like, I am going to laugh at you because how pathetic you are. And he's like, you don't even drop your pants. Like, he's just ridiculing the Joker. And then, yeah, it's like, that's what I love about it. He, like, rips off his mask. He's like, you're not Batman. He starts strangling him. And then, like, he just pulls out the hand buzzer that Joker dropped. He's just like, ha, 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 and electrocutes him. I mean, it's such a well-done movie. And what I got really mad about Batman Beyond, it was only 3 seasons. They were supposed to do one more season, and then Justice League came. But, like you said, everything...
They did the Batman Beyond project.
Did
you see that one where they introduced the Batman, and it was all about how Terry was his son?
Yeah, it turns...
So like, all this other crap where you're just like, Jesus Christ.
Like, I have to say, Paul Dini really knows how to write his stuff.
And knows how to tie loose ends, too. Yeah, I gotta say, because he left you like, and then you're like, at least we got a conclusion.
Yeah, he gave you pretty much a closure for not only the Batman animated series, but the Superman animated series. Like, he just was able to close everything up. And it was just, it's like, to me, I'm like, this is a show that needs to be on Netflix right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like literally, I was thinking about just upgrading my Netflix to get the discs, and I was just going to get the Batman animated series because I'm thinking to sit down and we need to, like, commentate on this stuff. Because, like you said, there's like those four episodes that's on the Gotham Knights.
Funny because I was listening to somebody complain about Batman Begins. Like, why did they go Ra's al Ghul in the shadows and this and da da da? And I looked at the guy who said that. I'm like, because there's a whole generation that grew up in the 90s who knows who Ra's al Ghul is. There's people who had no clue who he was until the animated series. And now, like, if you're going to do a movie,
so true,
these kids are older are going to be like, I remember that guy from the freaking Yon.
I mean, that's what we thought. Yeah. Whenever in our life did we ever think that not only Ra's al Ghul would be in a Batman movie, but his daughter, Talia al Ghul?
Yeah.
It's like, that just freaking blows our mind.
Yeah, where it's like, Jesus. And then, of course, it ties into that whole aspect with, like, now Damian. Like, I love how Morrison... Like, he read this story way, way back where, like, it showed, like, Batman and her spent a night. And it was so funny, too, because, like, Batman's shirtless, but he still had the mask on.
He always
like,
does,
I'm going to bed, and I'm still keeping the mask on, baby. That's how we're doing it. But then what I loved is, like, they tied into, like, well, what if she had a baby? And, like, what if this whole thing? And that's what I liked is, like, that's where Damian came from, was, like, this one little blip of, like, they were doing it more like a James Bond thing where it's like, well, of course he would sleep with Ra's al Ghul's daughter. Like, of course, like, that was going to happen.
Well,
he's a handsome man, and he's a Batman, you know. He's
not only that,
stuff.
But Ra's al Ghul always wanted Bruce.
Yeah,
as
he wanted them as his son.
Son-in-law,
you know? Yeah, ruled over the world.
And that's the other cool part about the whole Batman thing, because even with Catwoman, that one comic book, she even says that it's like they get together, they have sex, but she's all like, everything comes off but the mask. And literally, like, Batman has the mask on, but he's got, like, the cape, and he's like, hey, how you doing? You
know? Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Catwoman.
Take your mask off. You take your mask off. You greedy lazy.
You greedy lazy. You won't take your mask off.
I love that one, too, about, like, where it was on Hush. Like, that's my favorite one is Hush, because it finally, like, brought that connection.
Because
he always knew who she was. Like, he always called her Selina. He knew she was, and she never knew who he was. And finally, like, he takes his mask off, and she's like, oh, my God, it's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And then, like, it made them all, like, like, lovey-dovey. And it even, like, the whole part where she's like, oh, where did this scar come from? And he's like, Two-Face, bullet, or like this. And he's like, he's got like 3 or 4 scratches across his chest. And she's like, in these. And he's like, looking at her like, you don't remember? Like, you did that. Like, you don't even remember. But what I love about it is, like, they're all like getting all lovey-dovey. And then, like, he's like, Dick's right. I should have shaved, or something like that. Like, how Dick was like, you need to shower and shave. And then she's like, holding him. And she's like, you smell weird. And he's like, Dick's right. I should have shaved.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like thinking it. But I love, like, how they finally are tying in, like, those. Yeah, like, they would eventually, like, you know, figure things out and have that kind of rapport. But I love, like, the whole idea of, like, why wouldn't Batman have a son? Like, he's, like, more willing and I think he's the only hero who should really only have children. Like, I love how they did, like, the Wonder Woman. She had the Wonder Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Superman had the clone. And then, like, in some aspects, of him and Lois had kids and, like, they became super and blah, blah. But, like, I really think, like, logically, like, what I love is, like, in Kingdom Come, Batman and Wonder Woman, over all the years, like, Superman's, like, Lois has died, all these people have died around, you know, him, because they lived forever, like, they're living on and on and on, and, like, finally, like, him and Wonder Woman kind of have a little fling going on, and finds out that she's pregnant, and so when they meet Bruce at, like, a diner somewhere, she ends up saying, like, I want you to raise our kid, because obviously, like, imagine that, like, a Wonder Woman-Superman child
Yeah.
raised by Batman, I mean, like, you'd have, like, the most perfect hero out there because I would understand why not to abuse the powers and how to control and how to do everything. So,
well, that's what I liked about the Young Justice thing, the Young Justice, where he was like, Batman seemed to be more of a father.
Yeah, that's
figure.
What I loved about it. Like,
and he was just like, you need to talk to him.
Where I always grew up thinking, like, Batman was a dick. Like, I was like, oh, Batman's such a dick to these people. Like, he's always taking these kids off the street, but he's like, you do this and do this and do it my way. And I was always like, yeah, this guy's kind of a hard butt. And then, of course, like, then after seeing that, I was like, damn, Superman.
Yeah, it was just like Superman. Like, Superman became that.
Took pie to go, didn't even sit to eat, didn't make it. He made Bruce pay for that shit. You see that?
He left like, Bruce I'll take my pie to go.
And then he was just like,
it's not like Bruce can't afford it.
I know, but still, though. I mean, it's the fact.
Bruce looks over at the waitress. He's all like, he wanted cherry. Give him lemon.
Give him the lemon pie. Meringue.
Yeah. That's how the opening of Superman and Batman
starts. Kryptonite sprinkles.
No. It's Bruce Wayne, and he's all like, "Oh, I'll get a pie." Then he's all like, "I'll get it to go." And then Bruce is all like, "He want a cherry? Get a lemon meringue." And then Superman's like, "I hate lemon meringue. I'm gonna punch that bat in the face."
I think it would be even better is like they're just walking down the street with their pies, and like he hits like, "Oh, I'm sorry about that." Like gets it all over his shirt, and he's like, "I really wanted that pie." And then at the end of the film, they're like having shawarma and pie, and it'll be like the Avengers. What's Robert Downey doing here?
I don't know if you did hear about the rumor about the. I know we're jumping back into the Man of Steel, but it all ties back in. But it being pushed back, they actually might be not even doing a Man of Steel. They might be pushing towards the Justice League.
I was hearing because like they said, okay, they got Wonder Woman. They already got somebody possibly casted as either. What did they say him for?
Well, they said Green Lantern.
They
possibly.
Did say Green Lantern possibly, but they also said
Flash.
Aquaman.
Yeah, and Aquaman.
Aquaman, they said they already have somebody in the running for Aquaman. And when I heard that, I was like, okay. But there was somebody else they said him for. When they said that, I was kind of like, yeah, I guess I could see that. But I forgot who the guy was. But they were already saying like somebody else for like another one of those characters that you're like, oh, yeah, he'd be a good fit. But yeah, I mean, like, why not? Like, we've already seen. Like, that's what I love about DC. Marvel has had to build that. Avengers movie. It was good. I know there was a big, huge continuity mistake, which we laughed about because it's the whole, like, the part where they're basically surrounded by enemies, communicating with each other, but there's no, like, Bluetooth in their heads. Yeah. They're just yelling at each other and somehow they're communicating. Then it was like how you destroy a ship and, like, everything goes dormant. Like they could have made it more like if they were robots. It could have made more sense that way.
But apparently, but according to the next one, it's supposed to be darker.
Exactly, yeah, the darker, grittier. And it makes sense because, I mean, like, the Age of Ultron is like a whole, like, I'm going to rule you kind of thing.
Yeah.
And to me, like, I think, like, they got the formula right. Tease a little bit here and there, tease a little bit here and there, build the game, build the film into something that's more of an event. And that's what I even liked is, like, the midnight showing of the Avengers, like, was showing Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, like, all these movies, the Hulk, like, all these movies to kind of build that energy to, like, yeah, we're going to finally get to see, like, them all come together. And, like, all they had to do with DC is, like, last year, show a Superman logo, show the Batman logo behind it. They didn't even have to say shit about it. They just had to show two logos, and people went berserk. Like, people were just flipping out. People still flip out. We're still talking every day about, like, heard this, or this rumor, Ben Affleck and this, and now he's got pants on, now he doesn't have pants. You know, all these things, like, people are still just like, because that's all it is. Like, you have such a history with these main characters that it actually inspired a lot of the other characters. You know, like, basically, the Robert Downey was built, the Tony Stark was basically built because during the hippie era, the businessmen and big business was like, boo, we hate big business. All the hippies were like, yeah. And basically, it was a challenge to Stan Lee to be like, well, I'm going to make a businessman that people are going to like. And sure enough, he made Tony Stark. He made him have crutches like alcoholism and things like that, but he made him a great inventor. He made him go from guns to no guns, you know, make him more like, I'm in control of that. No more selling.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Batman, he was already established. Like, he's been around forever. Like, he's always been that, you know, that character. And, like, people always want to be Batman. You know, that character is always, like, still the go-to person where people, well, like, they like the fact that he doesn't have powers.
With the funny part I really liked about, I saw this thing on Twitter, I think, and they had a picture with Batman. And it's basically this whole thing going, like, why do people like Batman? Batman, I think, is the worst superhero ever. Like, they're going off and stuff. Right. They're talking about, like, Tony Stark is much better yet. I'm like, technically, they're pretty much the same person.
Yeah, the only thing difference is like,
but
the
what
technology.
The technology, but what I love is, though, then you look at the picture of Batman, and it's Batman walking back into the Batcave, and Alfred's looking at him with this shocked look, and Batman's covered in blood from head to toe, and he goes, don't worry, none of it's mine. And I go, and that's why Batman's a badass.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, you can't, it's like, yeah, don't get me wrong, I love Tony Stark. I think Tony Stark is a fantastic character. I love Iron Man. I think they're both.
And I love what they've done with him in, like, the saga of this tailing of the story. Like, even to the point where I was talking about the Mangaverse with Tony Stark, where, like, literally what they do in Avengers, he's just, like, a head in a jar. Like, he's no longer, like, got a body anymore because he's, like, gotten rid of his, like, body that was failing him and just, oh, I'm now just a head in a jar, and he can attach to things and, like, all that. He's part of, like, the AI of the building. And even, like, Captain America's shield was really cool. Like, he did all these they almost became, like, Voltron. Like, that's what the Avengers were. They were like a giant machine that became Voltron. Like, they were, you know, and Hulk was like, head, you know, like, and he formed the head and, like, all this other stuff. But what I liked about, like, that aspect of it is, like, you basing it more on, like, science fiction. And what I like more about Batman is, like, they're making, like, the Chris Nolan is a perfect example. Like, he could exist. Like, you could definitely, if you were born in tragedy as a child and did nothing but train your entire life, by the time you were 20, 25, and if you had the technology and things like that, you could do that. You could be that person. And that's what I always liked about him is that there was no powers. It wasn't like he was bit by a bat and he has these abilities. It's less that he had the mindset of, like, I'm not going to let this happen to anyone else. And he just, like, and what I love is, like, they always tie that back in. Like, this one comic I saw one time was, like, literally, it was something where Freeze hits him. And this is, like, an older comic because he was, like, in the blue and gray suit. Right. So he hits him. He falls to the ground. Like, he's just lying there in pain. Like, you totally, like, oh, I don't know if I can get back up. You turn the page. And when you turn the page, panel one is showing the young boy, Bruce, look back. And you see his parents in, like, a backwards pose. Like, and you see the gun saying, bam, bam. And it's all black and white except for the gun, which is, like, got the red lettering. And then the second panel, all it is him on the ground, like, forcing himself up, saying, like, bury it, Bruce. Like, he's like, that's it. Like, that's all you need to know about the character. Like, with Tony Stark, kind of got to build here and there. You got to tell different things. You got to establish certain things about him. You know, I think they did a good job in 3 where they actually showed him being more humanized with, like, with the events that had happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Think post-traumatic stress, I mean, like, all these things he was
suffering
for.
It's really
kind of
funny if you do think about it is, you know, they all said the same thing. It didn't really faze Captain America because Captain America's been in worse.
Yeah, so he's like, I got
the Hulk.
This.
You know,
it's a monster.
It's a monster, but it's like, but even Hawkeye,
yeah, Hawkeye, Black Widow, they've all been trained.
All trained for this, so it's like
Tony and like Thor. Thor is like a warrior.
Yeah,
battle.
Thor's
like,
a warrior, so it's like the only one it would affect would be Tony because Tony's like he's never fought.
Well, also because he almost like that's the whole thing. He's the one who almost died. He flew up into space, got to see that. Oh my God, there is more out here. There is alien life. There's all these possibilities. Like, what is the meaning of life? Crashing back down to Earth and waking up and then realizing, like, my God, like, you know.
Yeah, how smaller we are.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, but I really like to see how him and Ant-Man are going to clash heads.
They're going
to
both beat
their
wives.
Because they're both intelligent.
They're going to both beat Wasp, but.
I don't even know if Wasp's in it, but bringing it back to the Batman universe, I think we could put a pin in this.
No!
Or not? I mean, we don't have to do another one. We can close this first chapter out of our Batman.
Yeah, if you want, we can talk about definitely a question this week is if you could be any superhero in a movie, who would you pick and why? And we'll ask that question now, and we'll probably report on it next week. So
yeah, we'll ask it now. We'll get our answers in for next week or whatnot. Do you have anybody that you think you could portray in a movie right now?
I could play.
It doesn't have anything to do, like, literally, you'd go in there, they would train you, they would get you into the shape that you need to get into and stuff like that, but do you think you could deliver, like, in your mindset, going like, okay, this is how I think this character
I think I
could
do
play.
A mean Plastic Man. I think I could do a good Plastic Man.
Plastic Man? Yeah. Really? You'd go
I think
Plastic,
I'd do Plastic
Man?
Plastic Man. But I think I would actually go more with, like, a partner of somebody. Like, I'd be, like, Gordon's partner or just, like, somebody like that. I'd be, like, Lex Luthor's, like, you know, go-to.
So you wouldn't even be,
engineer.
Like, an actual.
I wouldn't be a hero. I think I just want to be one of those guys who's, like, I'd be the guy in the film that everyone would be like, what the fuck is that guy doing? Because it'd be, like, literally, like, Lex Luthor would be like, we need to put a stop to Superman. I'd just, like, come into the scene, like, in the background, just, like, mop. And just like looking at, like over at to like I wonder what they're talking about.
Yeah,
you know. So I'd be like in every shot. Like all of a sudden they'd be like, you know, this. They'd be up on Apocalypse. You know, this is now, you know, Dark Side. And all of a sudden you see me back there mopping again.
So you'd be like the Dante Hicks. Be like, I'm not even supposed to.
Yeah,
be
I'm
here
not
today.
Even supposed to be here.
That's
today.
Surprising. I didn't think. That,
and I'd be blurry, so no one could see me. But then eventually people like. But then that would be the question: who was that janitor? And then it'd have to be like this whole like, ta-da, you know.
So then who would you be? Just at the end, it'd be like, I'm just a janitor.
Yeah, it would be just like, no, it'd be janitor uncredited.
Oh.
And it would leave everyone guessing who was that guy. That's how I would do it. But I don't know. I think I could do it. I'd like to do like somebody like that, more of a wackier character. That'd
wacky
be more
character.
Fun to play. You know, just because I like the having the quick wit and like that kind of stuff where I feel like that'd be fun. I don't know if I could actually portray like a hero. Like maybe I could do like Athenian. Maybe I could do like Hades or something like that.
Ooh,
I could be
yeah,
somebody
yeah.
like that.
A villain?
Yeah, I could do like something like that. Like, because I feel like Hades is not really he's not really like an antagonist. He's there and he's obviously going to try and plot and stuff, but he could also just be like, oh, so I understand you're going on this quest and you need this saber that I have stashed away in Cerberus's butt. Go get it. You know, it could be like that, you know, that aspect of it, you know.
It's in his poopa.
It's in the poopa.
Okay.
How about you, Steve?
I'm trying to remember the one person I picked. I actually had three people that I was going to, that I think I could portray in case either one of them fell through. But my one pick was actually going to be Barry Allen, the Flash.
Oh, that'd be good.
I think I could do a good job with him. I forget who I picked for the...
I think Wonder Woman I could do a good job with, too.
Maybe.
I'm Wonder Woman.
I'm trying to remember who was...
Well, I'd probably do a good Brainiac.
One... Oh, yeah.
I'd probably do that. Shave my head. I'd be willing to do that. I like how they do that, too, like when an actor is like, they're just like, oh, he shaved his head, pick him.
Yeah.
Like Walter White, like, oh, he was bad and he had a shaved head. Like, he's a good Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he's a Lex Luthor.
It's like, well, wait a minute. Like, is that all the requirements are?
I guess.
So I'll shave my head.
Actually, no, okay. Now
he has three dots on his head.
So, now I remember. As much as I like Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, I think I could do a better Spider-Man just because I know how I have a better wit and I could deliver those lines, I think, a little bit better. Plus, with us, I think because we actually kind of know these characters, but the one character I think I would do a better job at because he's taking way too long to do it, and I already picked out the trailer for it too, the teaser trailer for it. So I'm gonna set it up first before I tell you who the character I think I should play. So literally it comes up with the green screen and all of a sudden you just hear someone go like, no, wait. And then a bucket hits it with red.
Oh, Deadpool.
So it's a red. Damn it, Kyle.
Spider-Man.
I was supposed to. It Daredevil. Was Deadpool, but I was supposed to set up.
I was trying to think of like
thing.
Who was red.
Yeah,
so
but
go
he hits
for
it.
Okay.
He hits the red banner, right?
See, that's so then, what so I would be that prick in the movie theater. Be like, Deadpool. You guys would be like, shut the fuck up.
But then it hits the thing, so it becomes a red banner.
Okay.
So then all of a sudden you see some guy at a desk, like an executive, going like, I don't know. He's like, come on, man, come on. This story has everything.
And you just see like the hands.
Yeah, you just see the hands. He's like, it's got action, and then it'll just show like, bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang. It's got drama. Oh, you killed my father. Oh, it's got women. It's got boobs. It's got sex. It's got fucking. It's got. Yeah, I think we're going to pass on this this pool dead movie. And then he turns around and full Deadpool. Like, you don't even get that teaser. You get the full-blown Deadpool costume. Go, can you believe this asshole? And then he shoots. And then all of a sudden you just see, like, the bullets hit the screen saying Deadpool. And then he turns around again. He's all like, and it's going to be in 3D. So shit's going to fly at you.
It's a good trailer.
Perfect trailer.
Well, I thought it would have been even better as he slams the door and it says, like, Walt Disney Productions. I think he's in the wrong building. To sell it. Because it's funny, because it's a Walt Disney owned property now.
You had a racist mouse.
Yeah, you fucking mouse. Man!
But yeah, I have to say, if Marvel, I know you're listening.
Stanley,
you're
listening.
Ryan Reynolds taking a sweet time.
He is.
And literally, I will shave.
And I've seen Green Lantern.
I will shave my head. You can put the makeup on me. In fact,
you can burn his.
This is the only time you would see the mask come off. Is when they people. It's like when you have to see my face. But in the last battle, none of that bullshit where it's like I gotta pull my mask off. People, no, I'll be in full Deadpool costume the entire fucking time, except for when you have to do that origin story thing. But the entire time, Deadpool all the way. None of this bullshit of. Oh, I want people to see me. Heck, you don't even have to put me in the credits. You just say Deadpool played by Deadpool. Okay,
yeah, Deadpool is Deadpool.
See, it's a no fucking. You don't need to worry about this stupid like. Oh, we gotta show his moneymaker. Fuck that shit.
Moneymaker, show the making the money. As always, we like to thank ComicList.com. If you want to check out all your weeklies and promos, go to ComicList.com. There's a lot of books that are coming out, so definitely go check them out for all the listings of all the books that you can put in your long box. Steve, I think it's going to wrap us for Batman this time, because we obviously got like
I know we got so much Batman, but I figure this will we'll stop this right now with
we started with Bob, we ended it with Finger,
yeah.
Bill, Bob and Bill. We started with Bob Kane, we ended with Bill Finger. Good way to start, I think, start with a part A, B, C of Batman. I mean, literally, we could do like 26 episodes of just Batman, so I think it's definitely good to. Give him some time.
And then we'll get back to our normal kind of comic talk, and we'll see what the next superhero we want to touch upon next.
Honestly, as more news is developing, too, we're going to keep posting about it, you know, with all the new movies and stuff. So
that'll be fun to see. So did we finally come up with our sign-off?
Face front. Enough said. Excelsiors!
fuck your mouse.
I'm Deadpool. I'm Deadpool.
This has been another fine production of the Four Eyed Radio Network, The Fern. To listen to all our great shows, visit foureyedradio.com.
Shazam! I'm also called Captain Marvel. Shazam!
I'd be played by Bill Cosby.
Shazam! Somebody up the sea, I turn into a white guy when I say the words, and then I find the evil eat the pudding and the pops. Where's my check?
Ghost Dad.
It was a good movie. Ghost Dad 2 coming soon.